Rose. The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we'll do that.
Let's go.
Checking in at
number five.
Mitch McConnell poked his head out today.
Dead.
To take on the claim that the president had. Remember when the president said that he had a perfect call? He's been saying that a lot, actually. He had a perfect call with the Ukrainian president. It was perfect. It was perfect. It was perfect. It was perfect. Well, today, Mitch McConnell, and I don't know exactly how much of a break this is, but seems to be breaking with the president on this. And A.B. Stoddard's going to join us coming up after 6 o'clock. We'll talk a little bit about this, but also about the Democrats that are running around the country trying to get everybody's attention. And there is a lot to be discussed here. But first, here's Mitch McConnell being asked, was that call with the Ukrainian president really perfect?
The president has said that you told him that his phone call with the Ukrainian president was perfect and innocent. Do you believe that the president has handled this Ukrainian situation perfectly?
We've not had any conversations on that subject.
So he was lying about that?
You have to ask him. I don't recall any conversations with the president about that phone call.
You know, they're getting used to saying that on Capitol Hill right now.
I don't recall.
Yeah.
They practice in front of the mirror.
Just do that.
Yeah, I was just getting serious. So.
Senator, I don't recall. That way you cannot be charged with perjury. Because it can't prove that you don't remember it.
No. You just don't remember it.
I have
it isn't all that long ago.
Yes. What did you have for breakfast? I cannot recall.
No, can't recall.
And that's interesting that Mitch McConnell's not coming out and giving cover, which he has been doing. And you've had Lindsey Graham go back and forth on this a little bit, too. Lindsey Graham came back into the fold a little bit over the last 24 hours. But he had been certainly outside the circle of trust, as the president, I would imagine, would say. Oh, God.
Lindsey's just saying he doesn't see anything that's impeachable here, high crimes and misdemeanors. But he says, show me something that is, and I'll be willing to vote for impeachment.
Right. And then the other issue with obviously what's going on in Syria. And today, a deal was cut between the Turks and the Russians to create this basic barrier zone on the Turkish border with Syria and move the Kurds out. And it also came out today that the Kurds had been protecting a U.S. oil derrick in Syria. There's like an oil field in Syria that the U.S. controls and has controlled, and it's oil that actually goes into the U.S. system. And that is the, I don't know why Syria is interested
in that. Keeps talking to you. I mean,
turn her right on.
I don't know what you're asking for.
There is something in that, and those the Kurds are protecting that, and now they're like they're walking away. So that's a little bit of a mess. I think there's a lot of people in Washington turning around, going, "Okay, all right, we got one fire at a time, please. One fire at a time." Checking in at
number four.
Last night, oh, you're gonna like this. In Sevier County, Tennessee, that is the county that Dolly Parton is from.
Oh. We like her.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait till you hear this guy. See if you like him. He's a county commissioner. There was a pending vote to become a gun sanctuary city. So just stop and think about that for a second.
That's what does that mean?
You know, there's a sanctuary city. No, it's a gun sanctuary city. I don't know. I mean, everybody can have a gun. I don't know. What does a gun sanctuary city need?
What's rent for a gun these days? Is it like $200 in an apartment?
Or it means they can't take your gun.
Well, they can't take your gun anyway.
I just like to picture guns being by themselves in their own rooms.
So I guess what you have to think about is that the people at this county board meeting, and the county was going to become a gun sanctuary county, essentially. You got to think sort of where's the mindset here? They're protecting themselves from a problem that does not even remotely exist. But they still got to do it. So here he is. Enter this particular county commissioner, Warren Hurst, who says he doesn't even like what's going on in the Democratic primary. I would imagine that's also true. Specifically about Pete Buttigieg.
I got a choir around for president.
fire poles, and things like that. It's bedtime. Now, you know, your kids and your grandkids is more paying for what we say.
That's true.
Now, he says he's not a racist. There was a black guy running the country. White men don't, white people don't have rights anymore. And if you couldn't make out exactly what he said at the very top, it's a little hard to hear, especially on the AM.
It is hard. It was hard to make it out.
We got a queer running for president.
Right.
And people applauded.
Gosh.
If I'm Pete Buttigieg, or basically anybody on the door, I'm not going to Sevier County, Tennessee.
No, I take that off your campaign potential stops. But the interesting part was not just that this guy, you know, went on this rant, but that if you, there are cutaways of the crowd at the time and people standing up and cheering and clapping and that kind of thing. The reaction to it was really
there. You go. We live in two Americas right now, maybe four Americas. Could be eight, could be 16. I'm not sure, but there's a lot of them. And it's sometimes a little daunting. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one, and they're happier somehow, some way.
Thank you.
But first, Lauren Lapka, tell us what's happening on the roadways.
For the news at 10, watch WGN. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For the TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
Checking in at
number three.
Striking Chicago teachers preparing for an extended walkout now, saying that they are not very close. Nope, they are not. Big march set for tomorrow. That's all set around the time tomorrow morning that Mayor Lightfoot was going to be making a key speech about the price of democracy in Chicago, which apparently is very high.
Very high. You want to be scared before Halloween. Listen to the budget address tomorrow.
That's like a haunted house.
Play your creepy music in the background and it's woo.
Yeah, she should actually show up with a hockey goalie mask and a chainsaw tomorrow.
Come on through my slide presentation.
These
facts and figures.
Yeah, well, Elizabeth Warren showed up today to rally with the teachers.
A long time ago, I stood where you stand. I was there on the front lines with the children. I remember what it was like to see a child's eyes light up. I remember what it was like to be able to give just a little extra encouragement to a child. I remember what it was like to be one of the most important people in a child's life. And I want to say to every one of you, whatever part you have in this, thank you for all you do every single day.
A lot of people out there to see her today.
Yeah. Apparently not as many as Bernie had, but they said the place where it was probably wouldn't even fill that many or allow that many to be there. Teachers certainly liked having her there, but I think that this sort of serves to politicize things.
Yes.
At a time when we want to bring this to a close.
Yes.
And by the way, Lori Lightfoot, I can't imagine... thrilled that she's here. Lori Lightfoot identifies as a progressive, which so does Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, sure. You're progressive when you're running for office. Then all of a sudden they hand you the budget. And then
you're like, what do I do with this?
And next thing you know, you become a CEO.
I also am here to stand with our unions, to stand with SEIU, to stand with CTU. Yeah! And here's why. Because the unions are how we have a voice. The unions are how we have power. The unions are how we make sure that the needs of every one of our children are heard loud and clear.
The unions are an important voting block also. She did not mention.
Did she mention that?
Was that in that list?
She has quite the style, too. She just... I'm going to start with this, and then the second half of the sentence is going to be different five times in a row, and then we're going to go to a next one.
She's got that. She's got sort of like that voice now.
Sounds like she's crying.
Yeah, she's got. It's. I don't know. I don't know. And she's a front runner. She's a front runner. I don't know. She and Trump in a debate. You know, like, remember he was stalking around behind Hillary in the debate.
Walking around.
Right in 2016. I don't I don't think that's. So first of all, he's going to have to. I think she's tall, isn't she? She's a tall drink of water.
Seems like it.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to. He's going to have to sort of try to pop his head over and around. I don't know. I don't think that's going to work. I don't know. How cheap are flights to New Zealand right now?
Number two.
You need cooling. Baby, I'm not fooling.
50 years ago today, Led Zeppelin II hit the record stores. Recorded various pit stops during a period of aggressive touring of North America and Europe by Led Zeppelin.
Hey, fellas, have you heard the news? You know what it is back in town. I won't take long, just watch it.
The album Zeppelin II cemented Led Zeppelin as a cornerstone of modern hard rock. It seemed so dangerous at the time when it came out. And the funny thing about it is now it's in like all kids' movies. Right?
What's so dangerous about it?
I know there's nothing dangerous about it anymore. It seemed dangerous. It scared people.
Robert Plant, I saw him last year. He's still got it.
That
he was
amazing.
Singing some Led Zeppelin songs, and he's still got that high pitch and everything. It's crazy.
Mm. We had him on the show a couple of years ago, I think at the old place, and we had an intern who did not know who he was. And I'm like, it's Robert Plant. I'm sorry, who? Robert Plant! You're fired!
Oh, I bet he liked you.
Oh, man. All right, and finally.
Number one.
Okay, so Jimmy Kimmel is in Brooklyn at the Brooklyn Academy of Music doing his show all week. Kick things off with a rare talk show appearance by Bruce Springsteen. Among the topics were Bruce's kids, who seem unfazed by the fact that he's a legend.
Kids don't want to go anywhere and see 50,000 people cheering for their parents. They would like to see 50,000 people boo their parents.
Well,
that would be worth
sometimes
coming out
for. Sometimes it sounds like people are booing you.
That would be worth coming out for. But cheering for your parents, there's no kid that wants to see 50,000 people cheer for their parents.
Yeah, so maybe not. Yeah,
our kids are relatively uninterested, have been relatively uninterested in the job that I've done their entire lives.
It's interesting about that is that, you know, they always say, if you see Springsteen live, become a fan for life.
Oh, yeah. People follow him all over the world. I have friends.
That is really true. I just came to it a number of years ago. I mean, a short number of years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, after seeing him. I never quite kind of got it until I saw him live. And now, like, I'm like, I like so many other people. He should actually have his kids to the concert. They might actually turn the way they think.
Thing or two.
He then talks about actually opening early on in his career for Cheech and Chong.
The first gig I ever did when I had my first record out was opening for Cheech and Chong in a small college in Pennsylvania. And I came out and we played about 5 songs. I thought it was going really good. I was sitting at the piano and somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, "That's enough."
Oh my gosh. You pulled Bruce Springsteen off the stage?
I like to know who that guy is now. All right, that's it. That's it. Too loud. That's it. Well, that's interesting because Cheech and Chong were a huge act at that era in the early 1970s. They had top-selling records. They were topping the Billboard charts. They had one record that you opened it up and it was a gigantic rolling paper. The album itself was a rolling paper package. And then there was a gigantic rolling paper in that was like twice the size of a legal piece of paper inside the album. Everybody had to get that because you had to get that. And it was like the greatest visual joke of all times. Back then, that's what stood for comedy back in those moments. All right. That just about does it. I somehow feel better by playing a little bit of Springsteen at the end of the top five.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up, we have got the news with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
The top five at five.